And thanks to the help we get from ASE Certified Technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, we'll help you keep it running. If you do have an issue with your car, your truck, your van, and you need to bring it in, you think, to your favorite dealer or your favorite shop, give us a call or send Dan a text. He might give you some idea, kind of diagnose it, although sometimes, Dan, good morning, by the way.
Good morning.
It is kind of tough when you don't see it. It's on the radio.
You have to, but
it's your experience you bring to the table here, and you get pretty close usually.
Well, oftentimes I've seen it or heard it before.
Absolutely, so. So call us or text us, like some folks are already doing, 651-989-9226, or send a text 81807. I mentioned this early this morning, Dan. I don't have it in front of me, but I had an email from a listener about valve stem caps. That's the right term, right?
It is, correct.
And they were wondering, again, I wish I had it with me, if it affects, if you have to have a certain kind of a cap for wheel sensors, the tire pressure sensors. Are they pretty much standard thread?
Yeah, they are absolutely universal.
Okay.
And you bring up a good point because, you know, everybody thinks, oh, valve caps or valve stems or whatever, you know, no big deal.
Yeah.
But it is a big deal. And I'll tell you why. Because a lot of people are oftentimes will find where people will get some sort of fancy looking valve cap for their valve stem on their wheels, and they're made of a metal or an alloy, or you know they're kind of beefy and they look cool. But the trouble is, you leave them on there for a long time, a year or two or more, and the corrosion happens.
Ah.
You go to take them off, and you end up breaking the end of the stem off,
wow.
Which is a big deal when it's connected to a sensor inside the wheel.
How expensive are those sensors to replace?
Well,
you've told us before.
Yeah, by the time you replace them and reprogram them, they're in the $100 range.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So at any rate, the only real safe, good cap to put on your valve core stems, and you should. You need to have caps on them. You know, you realize that when you take the cap off, the cap doesn't hold the air in at all. It just protects the device from the weather and so forth. So two things. Make sure that when you put a plastic valve cap on that it is dry. It's a dry day so that all you're not trapping moisture inside there to cause more trouble. So put them on it and check your air this time of year especially because when it gets cold, everybody's tires are going to be low. That's just the way it goes. So get the air checked. Fill them up on a dry day, and then, put plastic caps back on.
Not metal. Plastic. Make sure they're plastic.
I know the metal look cool. That's what everybody wants, right. But you can't use them there. In this climate, they get stuck on, and then you have trouble.
After I have this
now,
question.
There's a whole bunch of things you can do. If you want them bad enough, you can put some lubricant, you know, some dielectric
anti-seize
grease
kind of stuff, yeah.
To make it happen. But generally speaking, unless you want them really, really bad, just put plastic ones on, and you'll be fine.
After I heard from this listener, I went online, and I was looking at the various aftermarket caps you could put on. And I swear, some of them even had like an Allen wrench, you could lock them, really torque them down.
Well, you know, you lock them so that somebody doesn't take them.
Take them because they're nice.
They're nice, yeah.
Interesting.
Right.
Well, thanks to the listener for sending us that. I'll tell you what, I have a question about tires too, but maybe we can pick up on that because we do have texters, we do have callers as well. Tell you what, let's go to the phones first. Al is calling from Zimmerman, I believe. Al, you're on CCO with Dan. Good morning.
Good morning.
How can we help you?
I've got a 2007 Pontiac Torrent, and at slow speeds with the windows open, you can hear it almost sounds like a wheel bearing going out, kind of a crunching light noise. And I've checked everything underneath there. I've lifted the vehicle up and tried to shake the wheel. It doesn't sound like a wheel bearing. I'm just wondering, would one of the axle bearings be going, something like that?
No. If it does it at slow speeds and only at slow speeds, if that's the only time you can hear it, it's probably not a wheel bearing. A wheel bearing is more evident, you know, at 30 miles an hour on a smooth road, you hear a groaning noise and you can change the noise by swerving back and forth. So if it's at slow speeds when the window's down, perhaps when you're driving next to a building or parked cars, it's more likely that something's rubbing. And on a 07, that's probably old enough where some rust ridges have developed on the brake rotor, and maybe a rust ridge on the brake rotor is rubbing against the backing plate or something like that. But you've done what you can. The next step would actually be to jack the vehicle up and start taking a few things apart, take the brake rotor off and clean it up, or look at the backing plate, you know, behind the brake rotor and see if you can see a shiny spot where it's been rubbing, because where it's making a noise, you're also going to see where it's been rubbing. And that's what we look for, is if it's shiny, then we know that that's where the trouble is.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, that kind of makes sense, because the last time I rotated tires, I did notice something that looked like it had been rubbing on a part of the brake assembly there. And I'm thinking, well, I'd never heard any noise like that, so I didn't think that was it, but that's probably it then.
Well, you know what else, too, happens to me? When you rotate the tires, sometimes that wheel and tire will drop down a little bit when you take it off the studs, and it hits that backing plate a little bit and bends it in.
Oh.
So we have to be careful of that. That's why we always test drive a vehicle after we work on it, because sometimes that backing plate will get bent a little bit and be noisy after we've touched it. So you have to, you know, and sometimes it's as easy as, you know, sticking a screwdriver through the wheel. You can see actually see the backing plate, stick a screwdriver through the wheel and push back a little bit, and that'll take care of it.
That'll do it. Well, there's some tips, Al.
All right. Thank you very much.
Right, thanks for the call. Have a great day. 651-989-9226. If you want to call in your car care question for Dan, otherwise send a text like some folks are doing. That number is 81807. I'll tell you, when we come back after this quick break, Dan, let's grab some text messages.
Sounds good.
And a good Saturday morning to you. Denny Long here with Dan Burns, ASE certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Where exactly are you looking?
We are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right in the heart of St. Paul, where the Twin Cities Marathon is running.
That's right.
Just a block over from our door this weekend.
They should have a pretty cool morning for it, too.
They should, yeah. It should be a good fast race. So that's fun. I've done that many times.
You don't do that again.
I don't do that anymore. I'm worn out anymore. So. But anyway, we are at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, Lloyd's Automotive, which, by the way, we have a little thing up on the web. If you're, rarely do we have a position available for a technician at Lloyd's Automotive, but we do right now. So if you are somebody that's looking to advance your career, I think in most cases this would be a step up if you're ready for that, or if you have a family member, or
if you know somebody,
if you know somebody
who's good,
this is a great opportunity for somebody.
Yeah.
We are on the top end of pay and benefits and all that sort of thing, so it's a great place for somebody to start and advance their career and stay till they retire. That's our goal in life. So anyway, we have you can find that on our website, or give us a call. Nick will be there today at 651-228-1316.
Yeah, take advantage of it. You're really good.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we try to be.
No, absolutely. All right, I want to go back to the phones, Dan, but first let's grab a text or so. Folks have been waiting there. This one says, Dan, we have a 2007 Honda Odyssey. Is it important to use OEM Honda ATF, or can we use others that are supposedly okay, such as Valvoline Max Life, for a fluid flush?
Well, you need to use the fluid that is specifically made for your vehicle, and there's many, many different fluids. Practically every single vehicle on the planet has a different fluid, and Valvoline and most of the aftermarket brands make a fluid that is chemically made up to be the same. In other words, you can use a brand name fluid, but be sure that fluid is made specifically for your vehicle.
Okay.
And by reading the label, you'll find out about that. And I think that's just fine. But do not use just a generic transmission fluid and put it in and think that it's going to be okay, because it will not have the additives that the transmission has been engineered to have. And if you put the wrong fluid in, you're going to have trouble.
So be careful.
Yep.
All right. Dan is calling from Shakopee with a question. Dan, you're on CCO with Dan.
Yeah, good morning. It's got a 2004 GMC Yukon with an air system problem where I have air conditioning on the driver's side and heat on the passenger side, and it cannot get it to switch. Done some investigating that it's the doors in the heating system. Is there any way to correct the top door problem?
Well,
other than tearing the entire dash out.
Yeah, maybe. Two things that can be wrong with it. Either the door itself is broken, you know, the little stem that's controlled by the motor is broken so that the door won't move, or the motor has failed. You should hope for the fact that the motor has failed, because that usually is accessible, or more accessible anyway. And if that's the case, then simply replacing that little electric servo motor will take care of it. If it's the door inside, or if that stem has broke off the door, it's more complicated. But you should probably bring it in and have it checked, because sometimes, seasonally, they can switch those doors. And, you know, we can manually get up in there and move the door to the hot or the cold position, and in doing so, we'll get you by for the season.
Sure.
So if it's an older vehicle and you don't want to put the money into it, then sometimes that's a possibility. So So have that checked out, and have it checked out far enough to know that if it is the motor or the door, and maybe you can have a little bit of buy a little time that way.
Interesting. All right. Good luck, Dan. I know we have to break, but Debbie in Malacca has been waiting to ask you a question. What is your question, Debbie? Good morning.
Yes, good morning. I have a 93 Oldsmobile Silhouette, and I have 500,000 miles on this car, and my oil line, cooler line to my engine is starting to leak. Are those tapped in, or do they unscrew? My mechanic said there's a lot of things to get back in there to change that, and it might have to be specially made by someone else.
Well, no, I'm sure that those cooler lines are still available. And I'm not sure exactly how they mount on and get and off, but I agree. Sometimes those lines where they're routed and the way they're installed require some things to be moved. But, you know, always they're accessible, and rarely is it a huge deal. You know, the engine doesn't have to come out or anything like
that.
Well,
that's good.
To replace them. But I don't know. It should be no huge deal. So maybe if you're the person's looking at it seems to be having trouble, maybe you should go get another opinion and see if you can maybe have some luck that way.
There you go. Very good. I know we have to do a quick break here. Keep in mind, Dan's going to be with us for about another 10, 12 minutes or so. So if you do have a question, and we do have some text messages we'll pick up on, and we may have time for a call or two as well. And before Dan Burns, we run out of time here. Let's help some texters today. Here's one that says, all mechanics, this is an interesting question. All mechanics have a laptop. What do they do? What do they use them for? I see you on the computer often.
I have one. Every one of our guys has one on their toolbox. And it's just like everything else in life, Denny. You can't do anything without your laptop. In fact, all the information that we get, you know, customer history with us, with our company,
sure,
is all in there. And, of course, we have to check that every time that you're in and see what you're due for, see what's been done. All of the information about your car with all of the subscriptions that we have are in there, all the wiring diagrams and part locations.
All the fluids, the type, how much oil you should put in,
all of that.
Yeah.
All of that information is in. And you need all that on every car. So every single car gets there, and you've watched me. We even scan your VIN, your vehicle identification number, with our cell phones, and it reports to my laptop, so I know exactly what car I'm working on. And then many of the diagnostic tools are now just a cable that we plug into our laptops to actually interface with your computer.
That's amazing.
Yeah, you're right.
You'd be lost without it.
We are computer science is for sure part of our business.
Absolutely. Good question. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Another texter says, the heater in my 2004 Impala not working. Could there be other causes besides maybe needing a new thermostat?
Well, a new thermostat is the first most likely thing. If the coolant is low, it will not give you heat, although if it's low enough to not give you heat, oftentimes it'll be overheating too.
Oh, yes.
But check the coolant and be sure that it's full. And then if it's an electronic heat, then there could be trouble in that too if the doors aren't, like one of the calls earlier, if the doors aren't moving correctly.
Okay.
Check that
couple
too.
Couple of reasons there. Another texter says the 2017 Cadillac ATS, what could be causing sudden acceleration?
Sudden acceleration. Well, most of the time when if a vehicle is idling too high, it's caused by a vacuum leak. It's getting too much air. If you give it too much air, then the vehicle will compensate for that by giving it more fuel.
Sure.
Which raises the idle. So, but as far as acceleration, I don't know if it's a mild acceleration, like when the air conditioning or the power steering apply resistance to the system, then it'll turn up the idle, which is normal. But as far as a dangerous sudden acceleration, I don't know.
That person should get it checked out.
They better get that checked out, yeah, for sure.
Another text, Dan, says, I have a 2007 Volvo XC90, 215,000 miles. Everything still works great. However, at low speeds, primarily during parking forward or reverse, it sometimes takes an extra second for the brakes to engage. No issues during higher speed braking. Could that be a caliper issue or brake booster? Thanks.
Yeah, any of that. If it was a caliper issue, I would be more concerned, or just as concerned, that if the caliper won't apply properly, then it probably won't release properly either, and I think you would feel that. So I think that probably what you're talking about with the brake booster, that's a vacuum piece of equipment on the car, and if that's failing, the brakes actually are working, but you have to apply them very hard in order to feel them. And sometimes when you're parallel parking, for example, the idle will slow down enough, and if the vacuum drops off a little bit and the booster's not working right anyway, then the booster the assist might go away for a little bit, and that might be what you're feeling.
Okay, possibly. Another text says this 2009 Impala, the airbag light sensor stays on.
Well, that's a couple things for you to know about that. If the airbag light is on, the airbag system is disabled. So, and I've never heard of a case of an airbag deploying when it's not supposed to. So if the light's on, the airbags aren't going to work, but they're not going to go off when they're not supposed to. So feel good about that.
Very good. I know.
But you should take that in. We would need to hook up my laptop, which we talked about, to your car, and it will give me information about the airbag system. And probably there's a sensor. It's a safety accessory on the vehicle, and there's lots and lots of safety sensors that will disable the system if one of those sensors is not working correctly. And that's what's going on, is it's getting a failed self-test, and because of that failed self-test, it's turning the light on and disabling the system. So if you bring it in, it's a pretty simple diagnosis for us to at least let you know what you're getting into if you want to have it fixed.
Dan, I was listening to a Jim Chenevier from CBS News, a story, and I'm not sure who makes this particular vehicle, but let's see if I can find it. It's a real interesting story. It only takes about a minute.
Okay.
But I think this may be it.
FYI, I'm Jim Chenevy, CBS News. When it comes to high-performance cars, there are the fast and the quick. And no, that's not the same thing. Fast cars can hit top speeds upwards of 200 miles per hour, while quick cars go from 0 to 60 in the shortest time. It's in the quickness that electric vehicles excel, and a Japanese company is promising to go where few vehicles have gone before. Osaka-based Aspark is taking pre-orders on an all-electric hypercar called the Owl. and it's promising it will go from 0 to 60 in less than 2 seconds. The street legal Owl will deliver a minimum of 1,150 horsepower and 653 foot-pounds of torque. That'll blow your hair back right quick, and seeing as how the company plans to produce just 50 Owls, you'll have exclusivity to boot. The bad news, the first car is not expected to be delivered until mid-2020, and then there's the price, upwards of $3.5 million. And that's for your information. I'm Jim Shenevy, CBS News.
Boy, that caught my ear. 0 to 60 in 2 seconds.
Well, and 1,100 horsepower. Wow. That's drag racing type stuff.
Are
so,
you kidding?
Yeah, that's incredible. And street legal. How
and
fun would that
legal.
Be?
Yeah. Yes. Wow. A lot of tickets there.
Yeah.
All right. I tell you what, we have to head out of here, and we'll see you next week, I hope.
I will. You bet.
And you're open today, Lloyd's is.
We are open today. Come on over. We're at 982 Grand Avenue, or give us a call, 651-228-1316.
Have a good week, and if you know somebody who's a really good technician,
yeah,
who wants a really good job, it's got to be good.
Wants to move up.
Yes.
Yeah, sounds good.
Check out the website.
Sounds good.
All right, thanks Dan.
Danny.